All right. This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends in Wyoming, where it is, as my wife put it today, cat cracking cold. We wouldn't let the cat out in the yard because it's -2 here. Our board op Brad says it's -20 in Minnesota, where our Genesis Communications Network is. And today, filling in for Mr. Nima Vidati, who is out with his baby girl, Lily June Vidati, his new child with his wife, on paternity leave, we have filling in an old dear friend of mine in person. This is not an internet friend like, you know, most people have these days. It's a real friend. My friend Mike. Mike Makes Right. How you doing there, Mike?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thanks for having me. And I'd just like to say, I hope this doesn't make you envious, but we are experiencing 61 degrees in warm, sunny Pacifica, California.
Ugh, man. It sounds delightful. Sounds like you should be out in a bikini, slipping a Mai Tai.
Gosh. It's about the only thing delightful in California.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that a bit today because Mike and I, we have a lot in common. I've known this guy, and usually when I have a guest on here, it's like somebody people have heard of, some, you know, kind of famous in the libertarian community, pundit or blogger or smart guy, or he's a smart guy. Mike's a smart guy, but nobody's heard of him. He's not going to use his real name because of his job. We're going to call him Mike Makes Right. And he is, he was important to my path to liberty. I've known this guy for about 15 years, probably 17 years, since about 96, would you say?
Right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and we have a lot in common. We both used to be drunks. We met in recovery. We are both recovering whatevers. We played in a rock band together, not a band anyone's heard of. I don't even remember the name of it. Was it Kitty Feet, or did we have a name for that band?
I think we didn't even have one, yeah.
I don't think we even played a gig. But let's see, we both were early adopters of recording on computers, of doing digital audio. We both lived in San Francisco. We both lived in L.A. You were my downstairs neighbor in L.A. I told you about I got you a place to stay, basically.
You sure
I got
did.
You an apartment. And we've kept in touch. We're both libertarians. And we...
Bike messengers, too.
We're bike messengers. Yeah, yes. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And we both have tattoos, but, you know, that's like saying we both breathe these days. I had it before. It was cool. I had my first tattoo in, let's see, I was 18. So 1982.
Wow. So yeah. Only you and some guy in the Navy.
Only like, yeah, sailors and bikers. And
right.
I actually, my first tattoo was not like a sailor or a biker tattoo. It was kind of a little girly tattoo. It was like a little musical note over my heart, like tiny, like it's like a quarter inch or a, you know, third of an inch high. And I got it. I was actually 17. I actually like lied about my age to get it and got it at a place in, well, I'm not going to say where it was. It was called like Bill. I'll just change the name. It was called Bill's Archery and Tattoos in upstate New York. And it was like an archery shop that had a tattoo gun in the dirty back room.
What else did they sell there? Was it bananas and lawnmowers? Just to make it completely disparate.
Yeah. So San Francisco, they have some zany things. Tell me about some zaniness about San Francisco.
They sure do. Oh, gosh. You know, we shouldn't raise our blood pressure too high in the morning right now. There's so many things to just... In fact, I'm looking at an article right now on SF Gate, and one of the articles is, economic growth hurts the planet.
It's, really?
Yeah. It's those kinds of stories that... just make you cringe.
Well, that's the kind of like kindergarten economics that they love in San Francisco. And California is a bizarre state because it's basically been an engine to drive the economy of America. And now it's the engine driving the economy into the ground. You know, like you had the fruit boom, you had the, and I mean the things you eat, not the people. You had the fruit boom, then you had the land boom, then you had the Hollywood boom. Then you had Silicon Valley. Am I missing anything?
No, that about covers it.
Oh, gold. Yeah, we're missing gold.
Right. Oh, yeah,
the gold rush. It's the first one. And, you know, now you've got this kind of kindergarten economics that drives it into the ground. Like, basically, if you're saying economic growth hurts the planet, you're saying we should all be living in ditches pushing berries up our nose. And that's using the kind of logic they like to use. Give me some examples of some of the logic fallacies that people shove in your face on a daily basis in San Francisco.
Well, fortunately, I don't live in San Francisco anymore. But
and we're not outright bashing the town. I mean, it's a great town. Some great things that come out of there. Some great music. Some great literary movements. You know, the beatniks, the hippies, the Grateful Dead. We like all that. Now, this is kind of funny. Like somebody on talk radio who's going to say, like, yeah, we like the Grateful Dead and Bukowski and Fairlane Getty. But yeah, let's bash those weirdos from San Francisco.
For me, it started to happen towards the end of the 90s. And I started to notice that people really, and they still have this, is they had a bug about equality. And equality was the big thing. And I never really could get my mind around it. And I just thought, like, gosh, no matter what you do, people will never be equal. And I think, to be fair to some of the people in San Francisco, I think what they meant was they wanted people to be equal under the eyes of the law. But then there were other people who thought, you know, redistribution is the best way to go about that. And of course, they want it redistributed by the state. And I just never thought that didn't sound like fairness to me. It sounded like just spreading the misery equally across all people. And of course, nobody ever wanted to give up what they had. They always thought, oh, it should be those evil businesses who create jobs. Those are the ones who we should take the wealth from. Not me. You know, I'm just middle class. You know, it's like they never really wanted to start with themselves. They never wanted to give all of their wealth or their income or some of it to somebody else. They didn't donate their time at charities. They always just wanted somebody to do the redistributing for them.
Yeah. And we're talking about the people we knew who were kind of like lower middle class who always wanted to take it from the upper class. And then there's also the thing of like the people in a lot of people, I don't want to generalize, but you have to live in California to really realize this is a thing. It permeates to where like, I mean, in San Francisco, it's not cool to have ambition, which was something I liked better about L.A. Like in L.A., everyone's delusional and they're sitting in a coffee shop in the afternoon working hard on somehow living, but working hard on their screenplay. At least they're doing something. Like in San Francisco, it's considered like sleazy to have ambition. In L.A., everyone has ambition, even if they don't have the merit to do it.
I think the thing that's interesting about San Francisco is that there were people with ambition. There were people with wealth. It's just that, like you said, it was uncool. So they tried to do everything they could to hide it. In fact, in San Francisco, you would see people who were making six figures who dressed like they were bums. And it's because they didn't want to give off the vibe that they were wealthy and weren't, you know, part of the common man. So even if they had ambition, they sure as heck would keep it under wraps.
Well, I worked in, did you work in any dot-coms during the dot-com bubble? I did.
No, unfortunately.
I mean, they kind of took that to, they extrapolated that to drive, it drove a lot of them into the ground because what they would do is they would not only dress like that, they would kind of make the workplace like a dorm room or something. Right. Like, you know, you'd have pool tables everywhere and just playing all the time. And there are successful companies that still have that, like Google, but a lot of companies kind of emulated that, got a bunch of venture capital and then went out of business. I remember this one place I worked at, they were called something really like cryptic, like Paradigm Research. And I worked there as a receptionist. A lot of places I was doing writing or tech editing. And I was making like $30 an hour with my feet up on the table at a lot of these places. And most of them are out of business. All of them are out of business. Not because of me. I worked hard. But they just didn't really have a business plan. And this place, Paradigm, like I remember I worked there for about 2 weeks as a reception dude. And one day I went into the break room and there were like the whole place, it was just like banks of tables of guys and girls with computers. Everyone looked really hip. The place was just dripping with money. Like somebody had given them a lot of funding. They don't exist anymore. And I went into the break room one day. There were two guys in there, like on a giant screen TV, which back then was expensive, like huge TV, playing Tomb Raider in the break room, like during business hours, loud with the speakers turned up. And I was like, excuse me, I've been working here 2 weeks and I can't figure out what we do. And they didn't even look up. They kept playing. And one of them kind of smiled and he said, oh, we enter into contracts with multinational corporations, renege on the contracts, and then sue them. That's our business model.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's kidding or not, but the company's not in business anymore.
I had a friend that worked at Wired Magazine over on 3rd Street.
Did you ever go into that office?
Yeah.
The tables were all like doors over sawhorses. Remember that?
Yes. And well, to be fair to Wired, at least they still exist.
Yeah.
In all their opulence, they were able to survive.
Companies that still exist is the ones that wrote about all the hip stuff that's happening, right? Not the ones that were the hip things that were happening.
Like, it's kind of like showing up to the gold rush and instead of being a miner,
selling shovels or blue jeans. Yeah.
So she worked at Wired for I don't know how long. And for some reason, she didn't know it. She had been fired, but yet somehow Wired was still paying her a paycheck because they had so many people working for them and so much going on at that time. I mean, tech was exploding. This is probably...
That sounds like the movie Brazil.
In some ways it was, and also kind of like Office Space, where they can never really get rid of the guy.
That's
I forget his name with the stapler.
Did she sue them?
No.
Because I knew a girl that worked there for a while. I dated a girl that worked there for a while and then like sued them as part of her business model. Yeah. All right. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with Mike Makes Right and Michael W. Dean talking about what's wrong with San Francisco and how everywhere we live is cooler when we get back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Worms.
So this is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And on the other end, coming from California, but we still like him anyway because he's...
because he's getting, hold it against me. California, we got Mike Makes Right. And California is a good place to meet your woman and then move somewhere sensible. Is that what worked for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Meet your woman.
Yeah, I met my wife there. And I lived there a long time. How long did you live there and where did you come there from?
I am actually from California, San Jose, California.
Oh.
And I moved to San Francisco.
The Silicon Valley.
Right.
Or the Almond Valley. Don't they grow a lot of things there too?
In the Central Valley they do, but no longer in the Silicon Valley. In fact, when I was growing up, right like through the 70s, that's when the transition from orchards to silicon happened, and I saw a population explosion. In fact, there was a San Jose city limits sign right by my house, and I remember looking at it and going, okay, there's 500,000 people living in San Jose. And then 10 years went by and it was suddenly 800,000 people, and I thought, wow, that is incredible. I'm right in the middle of this just crazy transition.
Yeah, I remember something about the increase in the use of insecticides in that valley.
Right.
From when I was younger there, when you drive through that valley, your windshield would be covered with dead bugs.
Right.
And that's no longer the case. There's no bugs. Bugs cannot live there anymore, I think.
If I'm not mistaken, you had found a ride on Craigslist with a guy that had a BMW, and he was the one who told you that, right? Am I remembering that correctly? And he would drive back and forth from San Francisco to LA, and he was the one who had noticed that the decrease in bugs.
Yeah, yeah, it was some hippie with a BMW. Yeah, yeah. California's full of those. So tell me some more about I have something about the lunacy of California. You were talking about how all the lower middle class and middle class people want someone else to redistribute someone else's wealth to be redistributed. The same thing's true of the ultra rich there too. Like the people who are always the mouthpiece of, let's say, Obamacare, which is going to ruin everybody's life except the ultra rich. The people they always have in the ads for it are like movie stars who, you know, are worth $50 million or something, telling everyone else how they should run their lives, and they're not going to be affected and harmed by it.
No. Yeah, there's too many people like that. They just, and you know, though, in a weird way, they recognize that they're just too lazy to do anything on their own and want the state to handle it. They will openly admit. I've come across numerous people who have a good amount of wealth and who want it redistributed and are happy to pay their fair share, whatever that means. It's interesting, by the way, fair share. Nobody can ever put an appropriate definition of what that even means.
yeah.
But they're just so happy to, like, yeah, let the state do it. Let the state take money from my paycheck or from my capital gains or whatever it is and let them do it. Yeah, let's not actually try to solve the problem ourselves.
Yeah, and it's weird because most people who consider themselves right-wing or patriotic would probably say, oh, those people in California that wanted to redistribute the wealth, they're not patriotic, and that's the problem. But right. I would say that in their own way, they are patriotic because they want the state to do everything for them.
I think even, wasn't it Joe Biden said that paying taxes was patriotic?
Yeah, there's a lot of 1984-ish Brave New Worldish language going on now. I mean, just things like calling it the Patriot Act instead of what it should be called, which is the Round Up and Jail All the Patriots Act.
What about the Affordable Care Act? I don't know about you, but even with a subsidy, my insurance policy went up, I think, 62%. And granted, to be fair to the whole debate, insurance does go up, you know, usually once a year, but it's never gone up that much. And it's anything now but affordable for me. And it's so Orwellian when I hear people talk about the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I don't have health insurance. I did not buy Obamacare on the first of the year. I called my insurance lady, checked out the prices on it. I can't afford to do it. And I can't afford to get, I can't get the free government money and I can't afford it. I mean, it's basically, they said, you know, some Democrats said the Republicans' health plan is you know, don't get sick. And if you do, die quickly. And it's turning out like, for me, that's the Democrats' healthcare plan. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah.
Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza with Michael W. Dean. On this end, over in my windowless bunker in the Wormabago driving around Wyoming. And on the other end, we got Mike. Mike Makes Right. How you doing, Mike?
Yo. Very good. Worms to your sister.
Worms to your family. So we were talking before the break about how we used to live in San Francisco, and then we wised up, and you didn't move far. You moved to Pacifica, but Pacifica is not San Francisco. It's better. Yeah. Right?
Yes, I would say definitely so. There are definitely some Liberty folk in Pacifica.
Yeah, there's a lot of Liberty folk in California. I mean, I think that more people in California voted for Ron Paul than nationwide, but part of that's based on population. But
right.
But it's also, it's got a lot of Liberty people there too, because it attracts people who want to be free, and then they get there and they discover that it's basically like Mother Teresa pointing a rifle at their head saying, be free and be so good.
So my little metric of the growth of Liberty in California, at least in the Bay Area, is that there is a meetup that happens just sporadically of voluntarists. And if you don't know what voluntarists are,
it's libertarians. It's a fancy word. It's libertarians who don't vote, basically.
Exactly. So there is a organizer, Teresa, you might know her, of freeaid.com. She has all Bitcoin charity now that offers first aid to Liberty events. She also puts on meetups for voluntarists, and the first time I went to one of those, it was like 8 people, and we had one just a couple months ago, and there was like 38 people.
Nice.
It was amazing. So the message of Liberty is definitely growing worldwide, but it's also growing in California, which seems like a contradiction, but I think people have sort of had it with your favorite version of socialism or whatever it is that you are subjected to while living in this state.
Yeah, I mean, the hippies kind of got it right, but kind of got it wrong, because the hippies said, you know, the motto of the hippies was do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And then they tried to codify their world, you know, peace plans and liberty and equality plans through government, and you cannot do things through government without hurting people. So they basically violated their own oath, and libertarians and voluntarists do not violate that oath. I want to play this little clip from Carl Hess. Not many people have heard of him, but he's a very important guy. He was, you know how there's this kind of resurgence with starting with Goldwater and Reagan of conservatives sounding like anarchists, basically being like, no new taxes, read my lips. And they always like break those oaths. But, you know, it's kind of cool because it's kind of the only reason we're not all in gulags eating, you know, organic tofu at gunpoint now, I think. And it basically It goes back to like the anarchists of the American Revolution, like the real hardcore. You know, you can't say the founding fathers are one thing. You can't say the founding fathers believed this or that, because some of them were really liberty minded and practically anarchist, like Sam Adams and
Patrick Henry.
Yeah, give me liberty or give me death, you know, that kind of thing. And then some of them were just absolute statists, like even more so than Barack Obama or George Bush, like Hamilton and I dare say it, Washington. Washington was
the responsible for the whiskey rebellion, you know.
Yeah.
He was absolutely a tyrant.
Yeah. He was like, okay, we're free now. You guys got to pay for the war. Give us your money or we'll kill you. And they said no, because he and other people had riled them up to this, like, say no to tyranny. They said no back to him and he killed him. So Carl Hess kind of brought that back. He was a speechwriter for Barry Goldwater. And everything that the conservatives say about how much they love Reagan, not a lot of what Reagan did really follows the mythology of Reagan. Reagan sounded like an anarchist. He said things like, you know, the scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
But he also vastly increased the size of the federal government. He added gun control. I mean, he got shot. He didn't like it. He added gun control. He co-signed the Brady Bill, all sorts of things. You know, he wasn't really what people remember him as, but what people remember him as was more his words. And his words were kind of parroting Barry Goldwater, who came before, and Barry Goldwater's words were mostly written by Carl Hess. So Carl Hess is directly the reason Republicans still sound like anarchists. And he really was. He was an ethical voluntarist anarchist, anarcho-capitalist, I guess I would say.
Yeah, and we should say he wasn't the type of anarchist that, today would throw a Molotov cocktail through a Starbucks window. In fact, he would probably go into Starbucks and go, what a great place this is.
I know.
He likes markets.
Oh, but he actually did do gun running for rebels of both stripes and for the CIA at one point.
Oh, well,
allegedly. He talks about that. There's a Robert Anton Wilson and him talking for 3 hours somewhere. You should go listen to that if you want to hear more. But here's Carl Hess, 2-minute piece, really sweet piece. It's him sitting in front of a fishing hole while he's out fishing. And somebody interviewed him for a documentary channel. Here we go. Carl Hess on extensions of America, basically like saying why liberty is great. You should be proud of your country, but patriotism is the enemy of liberty. Here we go.
Things that we're asking people and trying to explore on the film is not just the explicit anarchism of the individuals of Warren and Tucker and Spooner, but this, to find out whether there's an implicit anarchism in American traditions and American political history. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I think there's an implicit anarchism in any of the American tendencies that have organized people in opposition to the state. And I think co-ops might have reflected this notion, organizing people not only in opposition to the state, in effect, but in opposition to the major economic movement of the time. I think, as a matter of fact, just in the romantic view of the American character, there's an anarchist tendency. It is flawed by one thing, the abstraction of patriotism. People who will damn the government from morning till night and oppose the state in a million and one ways will, at a time of national crisis, become incredibly patriotic and begin to say they will do anything for the state, and they begin to talk of duty, service, sacrifice, all of the words that are the worst words in the world, it seems to me, in a human sense, they begin talking about. Now, I don't know why this is, unless it is that these are such good-hearted people that they really believe that the American state is totally different from any other state, and it's certainly somewhat different, and that they feel that it is important to preserve. They feel they're preserving the country, but the only language that is available is to preserve the state. I have an idea that one of these days there will be another language in which we can talk about preserving the country, the landscape, the neighborhoods, the people, and the communities, without talking about preserving the state. At which point there'll be a lot of radical farmers, factory workers, and small town residents in this country.
Yeah. That's brilliant, man.
Boom.
That guy's great.
You know, he gets right to the core of something that Murray Rothbard said, and he said that so many people, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that so many people confuse society for the state. They are two different things.
Yeah.
And he's basically talking about, hey, you can organize, it's possible to organize a society without central control. I know it sounds maybe even maddening to somebody, but we see it in so many places already. There are all kinds of organizations that are spontaneously created, maybe even not hierarchical, that come into existence. There are certain companies like Valve, I believe is the name of the company, the software company. People just think, well, gosh, don't we need somebody at the top, you know, controlling all this? And the truth is we don't.
Yeah. And he was talking about the need for new language with that. And I've heard conservatives kind of almost get there, but not quite. They say, you know, fear, love your country, but fear your government. And that's still a half measure. And right. There's something Boston Tea Party said. He's one of my favorite writers, gun writers, liberty writers, was important to my road to liberty. And he said that the problem with America isn't liberals. The problem with America is conservatives who aren't willing to become Republicans. And it's that, you know, you can go when someone you like sits down, someone who's been there sits down with you like AA style and says, I used to be a statist like you. Here's my experience, strength, and hope, and tells you their journey. You can literally, like, you can get it in one sitting and go from like total voter, we need to change, we need to be involved in politics, restore the Constitution, everything needs to be done through politics. You can go from that to like minarchist in one sitting. But so many people have so, you know, you could go 1,000 miles in 10 minutes. And then right. So many people cling to that last mile.
That last mile is hard decades. To make.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to say, 10 years ago, I was right where Carl Hess was describing me 10 years ago. And it took me till just maybe 3 years ago. So it took me about 7 years to finally divest myself in the belief that the state is legitimate and that it should function and do anything for that matter. I was totally for free markets and all that, but I had this very patriotic, nationalistic attitude about America, and I was confusing the society with the state. You know, America meant kind of the government and the territory.
The problem with that is it can be co-opted. Like, I would literally say that all those San Francisco liberals that want to, you know, make you do everything Obama wants you to do, that the conservatives say those people aren't patriotic. That's the problem. I would say those people are absolutely patriotic because right. They're believing in what, you know, America tells me to do this, so I have to do this. And patriotism is co-optable. You know, Hitler took advantage of German patriotism.
Right.
So, yeah, man, love your country. Don't love any government. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Woohoo!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
All right, this is The Freedom Fiends, talk radio musical extravaganza, rock and roll libertarian show on conservative radio, right between Rush Limbaugh and the Cowboy Church show. So, Mike, isn't this cool? Like, think about, we used to play in rock bands and, like, lug amps around and think, like, well, maybe we'll get popular and we'll be able to reach people and they'll hear our thoughts. That never happened. That didn't work out for us. No. But we're sitting here in our homes, in our pajamas. I'm in pajama-like clothes. If I were a millionaire, I would still dress like a bum, but not to impress, just because I don't care.
Do the John McAfee thing.
I would just have like 40 of the same outfit, of the same like sweatpants and t-shirt outfit.
All meticulously hanging in your closet.
Yeah. So isn't this cool though that we've known each other a long time. We were always kind of like, yeah, man, I like this guy. I want to do some art with him. I want to do something with him. I want to reach the world with him. And, you know, we like microphones and computers, and whoever would have thought like that this is what it would have ended up being, huh?
This is pretty awesome. And God bless the market, because the market has delivered.
Yeah. I'm in a room full of equipment that probably cost about $5,000 that probably would have cost $50,000 when I first started playing music.
Yeah. And how interesting is it that something that isn't crazy regulated like computer parts, there is regulations. I'm not saying there is none, but the point is that it's not such a crazy regulated market. And what have we seen? Price decreases and processor increases.
Yeah.
We probably won't see that in healthcare anytime soon.
Yep. And you're using a $50 microphone that we got for you. And I'm going to do an article for Talkers Magazine on this mic. It's a mic with a built-in USB input, and you're just talking over Skype, and it sounds so much better than if you called in on the phone. Yeah, you're using the Audio-Technica AT2005 USB. And I will link that in the show notes today.
And it's great, too, because you can just plug it into at least any Windows machine. And
or Mac.
You don't need to install a driver. Your computer should just recognize it immediately. And it's literally plug and play.
Yeah, I wrote an article about it for Talkers Magazine. And here's a paragraph from it. If America collapsed and I were leaving the country in a hurry, this mic is the one thing I'd make sure to take besides my passport. Because really, like, excellent. You know, I could do this show from anywhere. You know, I also said it was kind of like a Mr. Microphone, but instead of being crappy and reaching any radio within 30 feet, it sounds incredible and reaches like every station in the country that you're on.
Well, what an interesting proof of concept to sort of dovetail into what Carl Huss was talking about. It's what you're doing is borderless. So, you know, you don't have to have a national identity and have to have a radio show.
Yeah. And there's actually a guy who's syndicated on three or four stations who's an American, you know, like voluntarist, anarcho-capitalist guy who lives in Vietnam. And Bill Bupert, who was on our show the last two Sundays as my co-host, is moving to the Philippines and then maybe somewhere else in Southeast Asia. And he is somebody that like any right-wing conservative, love the flag American would love to hang out with. He's like a retired army officer. He's a gun guy who carries more than one gun at all times. He, you know, had a horse farm. He's, you know, kind of a good old boy. And he's like, America's going down the tubes. You know, drop the mic. I'm out.
You know, and there's something to be said for that, too. I think I don't know if this is your experience, but I've had a lot better experience reaching conservatives because they at least get economics. They understand that libertarians are in no way opposed to markets. We love markets. We love the marketplace. And that's we think the marketplace has the best chance to regulate markets. It's funny because liberals like to talk about unfettered capitalism. And I don't believe in unfettered capitalism. I believe that the markets are the thing that regulate capitalism because the competition always ends up being the best thing in the long run. Prices drop. And service improves.
Yeah. And we'll be back with more for hour two of the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza with me, Michael W. Dean, and our Philly and co-host for the day, Mike Makes Right. And we're going to talk about nutrition in the second hour because Mike is really smart at that. All right. We'll be back.
Worms.
Stick around. Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And if you're listening to us live, we're on some stations live and some stations not live. If you're listening live, which would be, you know, right now it's about 1:06 p.m. Central Time. If you're listening live, you can call us at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261, and this is Mr. Michael Dean with the Freedom Fiends, and filling in for Mr. Nima Vidati, we have Mike Makes Right, my buddy from way back.
Yo.
And, you know, a lot of times, we're going to have him talk about nutrition a bit, and there's a lot of crossover between the Liberty Movement and nutrition. A lot of the ads on here are for nutrition things. A lot of, you know, libertarians are into this diet or that diet, and I think part of it is because when you don't want to be controlled by the state, you start looking at what the state controls. And one of those things is healthcare and what you eat. And you want to be concerned about it and change the way you do it. And a lot of people who talk about nutrition are selling a book or selling a supplement or something. Mike is not doing any of that, which is why you should listen to him. And if you say like, well, what makes him an expert? How do I know? I'll say this, like, I know him in person, and he's one of the most physically fit people I know. And so, Mike, talk to me about nutrition.
Well, I should first give a caveat that I'm not the fittest person you know any longer.
Okay.
I'm officially now fat. So
yeah, but your idea of fat is like...
Just so you know, it's going to come off like a
okay. So
a
you know how to get there, and you right. can tell people what you have to keep doing to not get back like you were.
I just don't want to come off sounding like a mass murderer talking about how groovy the non-aggression principle is.
Yeah, and to be clear, like none of this is medical advice. You don't have not any degrees all. Or anything like that. You're just talking about your experience, strength, hope, and failures. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So. I like to keep stuff simple. A couple things that I live by is keep it simple, don't overcomplicate things, and in terms of fitness and health, the good old adage, you need to eat less and move more, you know, you can't really do better than that. If you want to lose weight, that's how you do it. I don't subscribe to any particular diet. I'm not into the paleo diet or the Mediterranean diet or the Okinawan diet. I really just try to keep stuff simple. I eat lots of protein. In terms of carbs and fats, I kind of think after protein is set, which I feel is the most important macronutrient, it really doesn't matter. Of course, calories do matter to some extent, although I'm sure a lot of people in the paleo community will intensely disagree with that statement. And I know there's a lot of libertarians who are paleos and who are just incredible about the paleo diet.
Yeah, there, people get religious about things, which is part of my problem with things. It's kind of like, it reminds me of AA. Like you get sober, you go into the rooms and, right. you know, you realize, okay, this stuff, what I was doing was killing me. I have to stop doing it. And then people overcompensate. And the way that they stay sober sometimes is by saying everyone else has to stop drinking.
That's exactly right. That's a perfect analogy. And you know, there's nothing wrong with the paleo diet. I mean, compared to the standard American diet of motor oil and Doritos, the paleo diet is pretty good. I don't think there's strong enough evidence to say grains are bad for you. It's all in context.
I say it's like conservatives want to go back to when America was good, like, and I don't know when that is, like 100 years ago. And like libertarians want to go back to when America was good, like, you know, 450,000 years ago, it sounds like, with the paleo diet.
Right. It's the Paleolithic era of what, 2.5 million years ago up till 10,000 years yeah. ago. And, you know, I think the evidence for the paleo diet is kind of thin. I don't think there's a great understanding of what Paleolithic man ate. I mean, there is some evidence, but, you know, it depends on what region you're talking about as well. There's Africa, there's the Arctic, you know, what are we talking about here? So I think also, too, that people need to keep in mind that what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for somebody else. And there I think that's go. why libertarians kind of glom onto the paleo, because it's kind of a one-size-fits-all, and we sort of look at our opposition to the state in the same way.
And it's kind of weird and extreme, and libertarians were kind of weird and extreme.
We're that way, so I don't want to.
And it's a line. It has lines in the sand,
right?
Yeah,
and you know, it's always about compared to what. Again, it's compare the paleo diet to, I don't know, the United States government's food pyramid from just a few years ago. They finally changed it, but at one time, if you looked at it for decades, that pyramid did not change. And
oh yeah, I mean, I'm 50 and I remember that from kindergarten.
Oh, although, it's I like so
Ron,
horrible.
I like Ron Swanson's food pyramid better, or pyramid of greatness. Yeah. Hey, we got a caller. We got a caller on the line.
Excellent.
Here. Can we go ahead, Brad, and take this call? Yeah. Oh, it's Ben Stone.
All wow. right.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, are you there?
Are you ready?
Ben.
Here.
You there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what happened? How's your voice, man? How's your body? And we're talking about health. You were having a health emergency yesterday, weren't you, Ben?
I was. I've been fighting a really bad chest infection for a couple months. And as of yesterday, it hit me pretty hard. I couldn't take a breath. I was panting. But I'm a lot better today. So
Okay. Well, I got someone to, we'll just do inside baseball here and have a three-way call, like as if we're not being listened to by a couple hundred thousand people. So yeah, I'm glad you're better, Ben. And I've actually got someone to fill in for you next Sunday, because I think you should rest, even if you think you shouldn't rest and can do it.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So why are you calling in when you got bronchitis? Why are you calling in on radio shows?
Well, I just wanted to say hi to Mike. I haven't got to talk to Mike before.
Hi, Ben. I'm just pulling your leg. I'm not complaining at you. I'm really, really glad to hear your voice. I was really worried about you yesterday. Ben was supposed to be my co-host yesterday, and about an hour before, he called me and said he was having trouble breathing. So is it the government flu? Did the government do it to you, or what happened?
It's probably the chemtrails. Breathing too many chemtrails.
Wow. Those
darn chemtrails.
Yeah. You don't really believe that.
No.
Or actually, what you've said about chemtrails, I think, is really, it's kind of how I feel about a lot of conspiracies, is like, I don't discount that the government would do those things to you, but the evidence with blurry pictures and red arrows added that people present as absolute religiously proven evidence doesn't sway me.
Right. That's exactly my position.
Yeah. So what else, Ben?
Well, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to call in and say hi to Mike and be famous on the radio and stuff like that.
Yep. And if people do want to call in, they can call in at 855-660-4261. That's 855-660-4261.
Wait, before Ben goes, can you stay for a second, Ben?
Sure.
So I wanted to point something out that I noticed about us three. We are all men age 40 or over. And there's this, I don't know if you guys have come across this, but I sure have. In arguments with liberals or even conservatives, you get this argument that says, well, you know, when I was younger, I used to be a libertarian, but then I had kids or I met reality. It's kind of a snarky type of comment that you see this on the people on the left make this argument. And I just want to say that I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure that all of us have become more libertarian the older we have got.
Yeah, I think if you used to be libertarian and are not now, you never really were libertarian.
Exactly.
Kind of the same thing that Christians say about, like, if you're born again, you can't not be later.
Right.
And you also, Mike, you're going to have to get married. I mean, I know you're common law married, but it's like libertarian podcasters and radio hosts all seem to be
rule?
Males over 40 who are married.
I'll work on that.
Yep.
Yeah, really getting the glimpse of the anarcho-capitalist movement and the ideas and the concepts. It's like that meme on the internet. You know, there are certain things that you can't unsee.
Yep.
I think that probably covers it. I'll let go so that somebody else can call in.
All right. I appreciate your call. Thanks, brother man.
Thanks a lot.
Get better.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye. Yeah, it was nice to hear from Ben. Ben Stone. Yeah, he sounds good. He sounded good. He did a show with Mike Shanklin, Voluntary Values, about 4 days ago or 5 days ago, and sounded horrible. And I was like, I don't know, can you do the show on Saturday? And he said, yeah, I'm getting better. And then I talked to him Friday, and he sounded good. He sounded as good as I do now. I have a flu, too. I'm getting over a flu, or halfway through getting over a flu, or a cold, actually, I think. You know, I've had this thing come up over and over and over, like about since the time I got sober. And I call it Dean syndrome because it's kind of like unique symptoms to me. It's basically a cold or a flu with diarrhea and like chills, but like I'm not, and weakness and muscle cramps, but no temperature.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And like every time I've gotten it, I've gone and gotten antibiotics, like probably 40 times in the past 20 years. And this time I did not get the antibiotics. I was like, I'm going to tough it out and see what happens. And actually, I'm starting to get better in the same amount of time I would if I were taking antibiotics. So I think I've taken 40 courses of antibiotics in my life for no good reason, which is bad.
Yeah, I've heard medical professionals talk about the overuse of that.
Yeah, they'll just give them to people to shut them up and make them go away, because people are like, I'm sick, do something.
Right.
which is what I did, you know.
And in some ways, they're making it worse for all of us because then you develop what's, I think they call them super bugs that have adapted to that medication.
Yeah. I think I have something the government gave me. I joke that. I say it's the government flu after the Dead Kennedy song. But when I was 18 and I was a homeless punk rocker in Washington, D.C., I did paid medical research at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, and was in there for a week, and they paid me like $200 to be dosed with something called, something I don't remember, man. Hypersteroids or something. Anti-steroids, they called it. Maybe that's why I'm short. We'll be back.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Yeah, and it also fogs your, my Dean syndrome fogs your, brain.
Really?
Yeah, oh. It does.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right. And this is the Freedom Fiends, and that music you're listening to is my old band Bomb, going all the way back to 1991. That's the power of suggestion. Mike, you saw my band Bomb in 1999 when they reunited, didn't you?
I sure did. I saw you guys a few times.
Was it fun?
It was excellent. It was so good.
It was so good.
Well, it was interesting because the Bomb has such a great beat that is unlike any other band. Tony was a big component of that, and it made it fun to dance to.
Yeah,
whatever you would do to Bomb, you can't really dance like you normally dance. But
it was kind of like punk rock, but it had a beat that didn't just.
Yeah.
Most punk rock, the beat just makes you want to fight. This made you want to dance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and you can remember it because you were sober. You know, we had Chris Novoselic from Nirvana on a few weeks ago, and he's a huge fan of Bomb. He said Kurt Cobain turned him on to Bomb, And he wrote a great article in the Seattle Weekly about how great Baum was. And he was like, when I had him on the show, or it might have been during a break, but he said, like, yeah, man, you guys were great. I wish I'd seen you sometime. And I'm like, you saw us. I sat down and talked to you afterwards. You were drunk as hell.
Wow.
So, like, this band he loves, he thinks he never saw.
Was he, did he ever have a problem with the hard stuff like Kurt?
Nah, man. No.
That's good. That's probably why he's alive.
Just a drinker. Yep. Yep. But, yeah, he dabbles in the hard stuff of politics, but not very hard. He's not hardcore like his other bandmates. Dave Grohl, who goes and plays You're My Hero to Obama at the White House, and Sir Paul McCartney, who he's playing with now too. Do you know about that? Sirvana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I saw that. Unfortunately had to see that on television.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Ben Stone was saying, you can't unsee that.
Yeah. The government killed the good Beatle. I really do. I think so.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't Paul not really Paul? Wasn't he swapped out during the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band recording? And it's Paul.
That was the rumor. But yeah, I really think the government killed John Lennon because there was some weird stuff around that guy that killed him, and he was nuts, and he looked like he was brainwashed with some kind of like Manchurian Candidate kind of thing. He thought he was John Lennon, and he had to kill himself.
You know, there is, if I'm not mistaken, the Freedom of Information Act has revealed that the FBI had quite a file
on John Lennon. Oh, yeah. Nixon, he was on Nixon's hate list. You know, back then, presidents had, like, enemies lists. Now they have kill lists. But, yeah, he was on Nixon's openly, well, it turns out now, was on Nixon's enemies list. So we were talking before the break, I was talking about like the government experimentation on me that I submitted to for pay when I was a broke homeless punk rocker. And I missed going to the break on cue because I was going, yeah, they gave me this drug that, it fogged my, brain. And I said brain after we went to the commercial. Yep. So, yeah, I think they gave me some kind of like military grade anti-steroids and they're just tracking me on talk radio now. That's why they haven't taken me off talk radio, because they want to hear how often I get sick and what my symptoms are. And I talk about it about once a year. I get Dean syndrome, this like completely unique set of illnesses that no doctor has been able to diagnose. And like, it's not contagious. Nobody gets it from me. Like my wife has never gotten it from me. Yeah, they just gave me something. I think I'm kind of half kidding, but I'm kind of half serious. I'm kidding that I think they actually gave me that. I did do some paid government research, but, about 30 years ago, but they have done things like that. Actually, Hitler got the idea for medical experimentation on humans from the U.S. government. Do you know about that?
No, but I know the U.S. government gave soldiers LSD. In fact, there's video of it on YouTube, which is unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
There's also a government video on YouTube of they gave LSD to a cat, and that really angered me. Because at least soldiers sign up to be abused and have whatever the government wants. You know, basically, when you sign up for the military, you are signing a contract that the government owns you. The urban myth, I don't know if this is true or not. Well, I do know that if you're in the military and you get, a lot of people in the military get tattoos, but they can bust you down for getting a tattoo without permission while you're on leave. But they don't usually if it doesn't show, but if they want to, they will. And the urban myth, I don't know if this part is true or not, is that the violation is destroying government property.
Unbelievable.
But I don't know if that's true or not, but that is the attitude when you join the military. So at least, you know, soldiers signed up to have anything done to them, including being killed. I don't like it when the government gives LSD to cats, because I like cats. I like soldiers too. I mean, they're, you know, a lot of them are good people. My son's a soldier. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends when we come back from this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I'm out here in the Wormabago driving around today. I'm in Lusk, Wyoming today, where they use logging chains for windsocks. But it's not windy today. It's just cat cracking cold. We're not letting the cat out of the Wormabago today because it's really cold. It's -2 here today. And over in sunny California, we have Mike. Mike Makes Right. How you doing there, Mike?
I'm good. I'm waving my hands in the air, but unlike most people, I care.
So we're talking about Marines when you went back, when we went to the ad. Tell me about Marines in your town.
It's interesting. There is a lot of, at least in my neighborhood, there is clearly a lot of either ex-Marines or current Marines. I'm going to go with the former. And you know this because they pimp their rides out with all kinds of Marine swag. There's the Semper Fi sticker. There's the United States Marine Corps sticker. There's the license plate frame. It's never just one sticker or emblem. They're pretty proud. And I have to say, like, even though I'm fiercely anti-war, I've noticed that a lot of times Marines make the best candidates for liberty people. They get fed up with whatever it is, and they turn more liberty as they get older. Obviously, they still are holding on to the nationalistic concept of America, but other than that, they're pretty freedom-loving, and they certainly don't mess with you.
Yeah, and didn't you say that you were surprised you don't see the same thing with, like, Air Force? You don't see any stickers for that?
I see not a single sticker of the United States Navy or Air Force or Army, but Marines are sure well represented in my neighborhood.
Well, the Air Force people are probably, if they did well in the Air Force, they're probably still consulting, working for JSOC on, you know, drone plans or something. Because exactly. Really, I mean, that's kind of the way that warfare is going. It's going to, like, RoboCop, you know, because, I mean, they used to say, I mean, in the movie Full Metal Jacket, they echo this line. You know, there's nothing as unstoppable as a United States Marine and a rifle. And then for an example, he uses the guy that shot JFK as the example of why that's. But, you know, I think it's getting to the point now where, like, there's nothing as unstoppable as, you know, like with Bradley Manning, as like a government employee with access to a hard drive for liberty, you know, with Bradley Manning or with Edward Snowden. But I think with warfare, it's getting to the point where there's nothing as unstoppable as, you know, a computer nerd with a joystick, because they kind of want, they don't like the idea of churning out these riflemen that can, like, shoot somebody in the head at 1 mile and then letting them go back to be civilians. They want soldiers they can turn off. They want smart soldiers or smart systems with weapons that are so complex they can't be carried in your car or it couldn't even be purchased by a civilian, you know?
Yeah, and you wonder, how much does the federal government pay to give care to soldiers with PTSD? I'm sure it's not cheap.
Not much.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Not enough, exactly.
I mean, I'm completely anti-war. I'm pro-defense. I carry a gun. I think that geographic regions need defense. But I think that the U.S. military has just been turned into this globalist leviathan that's now being turned against the U.S. citizens in a lot of ways. Like, they'll send the National Guard in to confiscate guns in Katrina, things like that. And, you know, thankfully there are Oath Keeper types in the military who, you know, have vowed to not obey unconstitutional orders. But the problem with that is, first of all, there's so few of them. Second of all, I mean, a commanding officer isn't going to care, and they're going to, you know, that's going to be considered treason when it comes down to it. And thirdly, they kind of know which guys in their squad have that kind of tendencies, and they're not going to send them to do the unconstitutional things.
Right. They'll marginalize them.
Yeah. So I don't really think that's I don't really think that's a line in the sand to protect the people.
You know, although, what's interesting
although
is
if the paychecks stop coming, a lot of soldiers aren't going to keep fighting, and they're going to go protect their loved ones. And, you know, that's when you want to be friends with the Marine next door.
Right. You know, the thing that's weird, too, is I think Stefan Kinsella was talking about this the other day, and I never really realized this before, and I think maybe this is something that happened before I was born, but the Department of Defense used to be called the Department of War.
War were declared.
And now it's like we were talking about earlier how Orwellian so many of these government programs are. I mean, what are they defending us from?
They're going to they'll eventually change it to the Department of Diplomatic Outreach or something.
Yeah. Let's soften it even more, which it seems like it's an impossible thing to do now because who's against defense? Everybody likes defense.
Yeah. Everybody likes not being killed.
Right.
Except hippies. Hippies think that hippies are so weird, man. And when I say hippies, I don't mean like real hippies back in the day. I kind of like real hippies back in the day, and I probably have some real hippie in me somewhere. I'm kind of like a hippie who carries a gun. And I think there's a lot of crossover from the 60s hippie thing to like survivalism. You know, like people want to eat right, they want to have the right foods, they want to be off the grid as much as possible or not dependent on it. So I think there's some good things in that. But when I say hippies in a derogatory way, I mean the hipsters in San Francisco who defended the state like they were defending their mother. You know, it's this kind of like reverse patriotism that's, I mean, those people cannot be logicked with. Can you give some examples of like conversations you've had with some of those people we knew?
Oh gosh, there's so many. You know, I noticed that there was when I had pointed out to a friend of mine or not really a friend anymore, that I asked, where is the anti-war left now that Obama is in office? And he just went on the offensive towards me and said, oh, clearly you're not paying attention because there's still a big contingent of the anti-war
during
left.
During Bush, there were like almost riots in the street against the war in San Francisco.
Well, you know, I was living in San Francisco at the time he made this comment to me. I had to ride my bike to get to work, so I cut through like a full half of the city every single day. I used to see war protesters out all the time before Obama got elected.
Like hundreds or thousands of them regularly.
Weekly, yeah. Weekly there would be some kind of demonstration, and I mean, again, this is my own experience, N equals one. But in my experience, I did it came down to a trickle after Obama got elected. And he was just so adamant that there was still a strong anti-war left out there really, you know, sticking it to the man. And I said, you know, do you hear the words coming out of your mouth?
Put it this way. When Bush was in office, the anti-war left in San Francisco was regularly so loud that if you worked downtown in an office, you know, on the ninth floor with your windows shut, you could hear it.
Yeah.
And when Obama got into office, the anti-war left was like some people you'd have to look for with placards by the BART station, like six people.
Yeah, really, they're not anti-war. They're anti-Bush's war because he's a Republican. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not anti-defense, but very little of what the U.S. does worldwide is defense anymore.
Well, you know, they have the fortune of not. I mean, like, how do you prove that they defended you? I mean, how do you know what would have happened if there was no United States military? There's no way. I mean, you could theorize, but there's no way to prove it.
Well, and so they say, like, you know, you ask the FBI or the TSA, like, how many terrorists have you stopped? And they're like, oh, 423, but we can't tell you about them because of national security.
Right, right.
You know,
so what is
it? Just sounds like the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz to me.
Yeah, and you know, they have to keep up those appearances because, you know, you don't want to look weak internationally in front of other countries, and so you got to and not to mention too, so there's so much money to be made in anti-terrorism.
Bingo. You know,
when it's interesting when left libertarians or, you know, some of the Marxist stripes talk about capitalism. That's sometimes what the kind of capitalism they're talking about, the type of special interests that make money off of keeping the public alarmed. I have to be in agreement with that, you know, even though I'm not a communist or in favor of those types of organizations. The critique of that system, the American war system, is spot on. I mean, Noam Chomsky has talked about this kind of stuff for years, and you know, there's private contractors making billions of dollars every single year.
And the easy way for the libertarian to explain that away rightfully is to say that's not capitalism, that's corporatism.
Crapitalism.
Yeah. Crapitalism. I've never heard that. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't come up with it, but
it's good. Yeah. It's, you know, basically you know, and people say, without the government, who would protect us from the corporations? And the thing is that, like, there's nothing wrong with large business, but anything that you can point at about American capitalism or globalism and say that's evil and that's an evil corporation, and there is a lot of it, it's not really true capitalism. It's corporatism, in that it's things that wouldn't exist without the government's guns protecting its interests and monopolies.
Exactly. I mean, look at a company that, like AT&T, I mean, they had monopolies across the country for decades, and of course they're still around. How convenient is it that they have to compete with upstart companies that have mobile services that never had monopolies given to them? You know, it's kind of easy to succeed when you've got the backing of the United States and all its guns. That's not capitalism. That is just some serious, like you said, corporatism and the stuff that Carl Hess was talking about. Benjamin Tucker, the individualist anarchist of the 1900s, this is the kind of stuff he was talking about, this mercantilism, this protectionism that is given to certain lucky people that get to make all kinds of money. This isn't a market. This is, I don't know what it is, but it's a monster, and it's not anything close to being fair.
Yeah, and people who want to go back to the Constitution, I mean, like, which part of it or which point of which amendments? And you know, when you go back to, like, it mentions letters of marque, which is basically allowing government controlled piracy on the high seas. And I thought it was kind of unique when Ron Paul said, like, we don't need to invade the Middle East to get bin Laden, issue letters of marque. And it was like, that was right on. It's like, there's these obscure things in the Constitution that are rarely brought up, but he's such a strict constitutionalist in a way that I love, that he brought up, yes, issue letters of marque for people to go after bin Laden.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, if we could get back, and it's not that I'm pushing to get back to the Constitution, but if we could, it would be better than what we had now.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
All right. Alright. Yeah. This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. And this is the top of hour two. This is the end of the show. We're going to do some redemption in the third act with myself and my co-host, Mike Makes Right. So, Mike, we're talking about technology and how it's going to save the human race. And we were, that's kind of a bold statement, but it's kind of true in a way. When we were kids, like, we were promised all sorts of stuff, like flying cars and lightsabers. You remember that?
I sure do.
Yeah. And we don't have flying cars, and I think it's because of the government. When people say, but without the government, who would build the roads? And, which is the classic go-to liberal conundrum. And you actually made a meme. I'm going to use it today for the show. Archive podcast blog post. It's a bunch of zombies, and they're all going, roads. And that's your picture of liberals. And right. Or of statists saying
the night of the living statists.
Yes. And it's I think they must teach that in high school because everyone says it.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's you were talking about Manchurian candidates earlier. And it's weird that that is sometimes just the first line of defense for people who have never heard ideas of liberty. And you know they haven't thought it through, especially when you tell them, you know that's a meme, right? You know that we joke in the libertarian community that who would build the roads is not really a serious question. Come back to us when you want to know who will defend a territory from outside invaders. Then maybe we can talk. But
I also
the
point
roads
out,
problem is not going to be a hard one.
I also point out that for the most part, the roads are already built.
Right. It's who's going to maintain and profit off of them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then the second question is always, well, if you want to live without lots of guns and no government, move to Somalia, which is ridiculous. Somalia is not a stateless entity. It's a failed socialist state that is currently occupied by the U.S., by JSOC, by U.S. forces. And
you certainly can't blame
warlords,
that on anarchy.
And warlords who are paid by the U.S. to kill the people they want killed there.
Yeah, and there's been some indication, too, like at least outside of Mogadishu, things have gotten better since since it's been quasi-anarchistic. But, you know, the funny thing, too, is that as soon as people talk about who would do this and who would do that, they become these experts on Somalia. And it's like, what do you know about Somalia? All you know is the little tidbit that you've heard on the news.
Yeah, or that you saw on, what is it, Black Hawk Down?
Right.
I think takes place in Somalia,
right.
You know, where it's basically like one U.S. Marine with his sidearm trying to defend against hundreds of like just insurgents with AK-47s.
You know, if I could move to Somalia, I would. I mean, it might maybe take a lot of guns and a lot of guts, but I think it'd be fun just to do just as a proof of concept.
If I could move to Mars, I would. I mean, I'm actually thinking at this point, like, this planet is done. There's nowhere people always say, if you don't love America, get out. And that just basically means if you don't love the state, move to somewhere else where there's an oppressive state.
Right.
But, I actually have fantasies and dreams about aliens hearing us at Alpha Centauri 4.5 light years away and coming to save us because they finally hear some intelligent life from Earth. They hear the Freedom Fiends.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, it's possible because, you know, radio waves from terrestrial AM radio do leak into space. And the nearest possibly habitable planet is in the Alpha Centauri region, which is 4.5 light years away. So we've been on the radio about 7 months. So in about 4 years, a little less, maybe they'll hear us. And I don't know how quickly they can get here, but maybe they can just email us their technology to save the world. So we're talking about technology. How can technology save liberty and save the world?
You were talking about going to Mars. I saw something the other day, and I don't know how feasible this is, but they were talking about some type of warp drive where they could alter space-time around like a vessel so that they could cruise through space. In some ways, you're not even moving. You're just manipulating the area around. I don't even know how it works. I don't have a scientific background, but I think that's just fascinating to be able to go across the galaxy in a matter of days instead of a matter of years or centuries.
Well, the problem with all the technology, and we're at the top of the hour here, but the problem with all the technology we were promised as a kid is most of it got used for war, for offensive war. Like, The moon landing was cool when I was a kid, but it led to drones over everyone's house. And really, it's computing and personal distributed technology.
Thank you for listening to
that's going to save us.
Amen, brother.
Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.